Let patience have a perfect work that he may be perfect and entire wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because of the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Now notice verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for this precious word that you have given to us. As we are going to look into your word, I pray, Lord, thou truly speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I have given a title to this message, How to Endure Trials with Joy. How to Endure Trials with Joy. One of the concerns of James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, was this: how to comfort those believers who were scattered because of persecution. The Jewish people, they were scattered. All the Roman provinces. Now, James is writing this, and James, a servant of God under the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, it's a common designation for the Jewish nation. They were scattered abroad after the Assyrian deportation in 722 B.C., the Babylonian deportation in 586 B.C. Now, persecution was the thing which scattered these believers all over the places. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1 to 4, you need not to turn to that place. Let me just read. And Saul was consenting unto his death. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And verse 4 says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. I'm just trying to lay the foundation how these people were scattered. Persecution scattered them all over the places. Acts chapter 11 verse 19 tells us, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So persecution was a common thing, just like what you have seen. That truly scattered those people. James had a concern for those believers who underwent persecution in different places. Persecution is a common thing even today. David Barrett states, in the International Bulletin of Missionary Research published in 1996, that the average rate of martyrdom is about 159,000 per year. That's in 1996. You have seen what is happening in Orissa. Now, having said that, how to endure trials with joy? James answers that profound question, how you and I can endure trials with joy. Now, notice here in verse 2, James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or testing. Now, one of the ways to endure trials is to count it all joy when you fall into diverse testing or temptations. The first strategy is to count it all joy. Now, for years, I did not understand how a man can truly rejoice when he goes through trials and testing in life. That word count simply means think in terms of the future. When all these trials comes, James tells believers, count it. Count it, think it in terms of the future. But today our trial can be various things. The loss of job, a divorce, trouble with our own children, severe financial strain, illness or death in the family. Now trials are going to invade our lives. If it is not there today, it is going to be there someday in our lives. And notice also, James says, when you fall into diverse temptation. He did not say if trials comes. That simply means one of these days trials going to invade our lives. Then such thing happens, James tells us, think in terms of the future. How to endure trials with joy? Number one, think in terms of the future. Then the second thing I would like to bring to your attention is the purpose of trial. Why trials comes? That answer is given here in verse 3. Knowing this, so talking about the trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Number one, the purpose of our trial is to teach us patience. The very same word is used about the patience of Job. If we don't go through trials or testing, we will never learn to be patient. Now James tells us, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. This morning I was explaining to a doctor who is a chiropractor what his patience means. He has been asking me a lot of questions. Today I had an opportunity to explain him what is patience. Patience simply means endurance, patience. But the predominant meaning of the word patience is remaining under. Remaining under. Combination of two words, hupo and meno. That is remaining under. When trials invades our life, if we run away, we are not going to learn what patience is. Job could have cursed God and say, why, oh Lord, you do all these things to me? You have seen the tremendous patience of Job. Even his own wife came and asked, Job, curse God and die. His reply was this, you talk like a foolish woman who talks. Job did not sin against God. So James tells us, trial teaches to be patient. How to endure trials? We need to understand the purpose. Why the Lord is allowing us to go through trials. Then it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and there wanting nothing. It's not an amazing thing. It says that trial comes in our lives to make you perfect. Perfect to bring you to maturity. The day you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a babe in Christ. Through these trials and testing, the Lord is trying to bring you to maturity. So therefore, we ought to be thankful to the Lord for the trials which invades our life. Many times, our tendency is to murmur and complain and ask the Lord, Lord, why do you allow me to go through this difficult time in my life? But God has a purpose in allowing us to go through difficult times. Number one, to teach you to be patient. Number two, He wants us to grow spiritually, to be a matured person. You know, glorious and wonderful thing. When it goes through, it's a hard thing. But this is the process through which we need to go to be a mature Christian. Number three, what are the resources? Where do I find the resources to go through this? When you run out of money, where do you go? If you have money in the bank, you go and try to find some money there. When we go through difficult times, my friends, there is one place you and I, we can go, that is the word of God. Now notice in verse 5 it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So you need to ask the Lord to give you wisdom. In 1967, when I got saved, And I started to read God's word. One of the verses the Lord gave to me is James chapter 1 verse 5. As I was reading, my attention fell on that particular verse in James chapter 1 verse 5. It tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. And I truly claimed the promise of God and said, Lord, I do need your wisdom to get through this study time. And the Lord did bless me. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask God who giveth liberally. Just like David. He went to the presence of the Lord, and the Lord, he asked the Lord, Lord, I don't know what to do. Give me your wisdom, what to do and what not to do. The Lord granted him the understanding what to do. Just like Jehoshaphat, when he was confronted with the Ammonites and the Moabites, he did not know what he was going to do. All he knew, the Ammonites and the Moabites, they were there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He called the people and said, let us fast and pray. Having prayed, in the 12th verse of the 20th chapter, Jehoshaphat said, Lord, we have no might, we have no power to stand against this great company which comes against us, but our eyes are upon you. He focused his attention upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he asked the Lord. You may not know what to do in a particular situation. You need to bend your knees and go to him and say, Lord, speak to my heart. I don't know what to do in this particular situation. I am at my wits' end. I have no supply. I don't know where to go, to which friend to go. May I suggest to you tonight, we all lack wisdom. He's not talking about the wisdom of this world. He's talking about the wisdom which is from above. Not the wisdom of this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. James chapter 3 verse 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Ask a God. Two amazing things I notice in verse 5. I trust that will be a great help to you. Notice verse 5 again. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask a God that giveth to all men two things. Number one, he gives liberally. Second thing, he upbraideth not. I was looking into that word. What does it mean, that old English word upbraideth? He is a generous God. You can go to him at all times. If I go to Pastor Jenkins and say, Pastor Jenkins, I need $10. He will be very gracious and he may give me the $10. The second day, if I would go to him again, I ask Pastor Jenkins, I need 10. He may give it. But the third day, he is going to be fed up by my going to him and asking money. But God is not like that. God is a generous God. He upbraideth not. You know what the word upbraideth means? He will not scold us. He will not scold you. His presence is open for you. That's why the psalmist said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my cry. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Is it not a wonderful and glorious thing that you and I, we can go to him irrespective of time and place? He will not scold you. He will not tell you, why did you come now? But he can go to him at all times. If any of you lack wisdom, you need the wisdom of God. Go to him. He is generous. He will not scold you. All you need to do is to bend your knees and ask him. He will grant. If that pleases him, he will give it to you. Then verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The one who goes to him must believe who he is. Who he is our God and our Savior. You can go to him, and he answers prayer. Now, how to endure trials with joy? Count it all joy. Think in terms of the future. Then the purpose of our trial is to teach us patience and bring us to maturity. Where do we find the resources? In God's word. It says, He giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Now, how are we going to react? Now that is given. James, the book of James is a wonderful and profound book. The more you read, the more you will grasp and get from this book. Notice verse 9. He talks to both the rich and the poor. And he said, oh, poor man, I have something to tell you. This is what you need to do if you're a poor man. It says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. And when I read it, you know, I could not understand how we are being exalted through suffering. But James tells us in verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. How? A poor man, when he is confronted with the difficulties and troubles, James tells us, friend, you are being exalted through suffering. This is what it means. Some said, the next two verses are the most difficult, one of the most difficult verses to interpret. But it says, when testing comes to the poor man, he lets God have his way and rejoices that he possesses spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. You and I, we have been blessed with the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. That's what he's talking to this poor man. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. You and I, we are truly being exalted. That's a wonderful thing, through suffering. Then he talks to the rich man, he says, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. And then he talks to the rich man, oh, rich man, you may boast and glory in the riches that you have in this world. Then he says, think on this, for the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. When the rich man, he loses everything, he also need to take it to the account. His riches here in this world is just temporal. Even his life is like a vapor. It's going to go away. But you put your trust and confidence in God and God alone. One last thing. A man who truly endures trials, testing, what awaits for that man is so wonderful. Here it says in verse 12, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Our rewards. Apostle Paul describes the future rewards as the crown of righteousness. Peter calls it the crown of glory that does not fade away. Apostle John calls it the crown of life in Revelation 20, 2:10. All the crowns that we will be casting at the feet of Christ. Salvation comes by trusting in Christ. Crowns comes to us by being faithful to Him. May God Almighty speak to our hearts. We have a great God. How to endure trials in joy. Count it all joy. Think in terms of the future. There is a purpose. The purpose is this. The Lord is trying to teach us to have patience. Bring us to maturity. You are growing in grace and knowledge. Unless we go through this furnace, difficulties, you are not going to be matured. Then in the resources, thank God, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God who giveth liberally. You know, every time I read that particular portion, I'm so blessed. He gives to us liberally. He's a generous God. He will not scold us. Is it not a great comfort for us? We have a great God to whom we can go who will not scold us. In the middle of the night, we can get up and seek His face and call upon Him. He's a generous God. He will not scold us. It's all depending upon in our trials how we react. We may lose everything, but thank God, our eternal life is safe and secure in the hand of God. In verse 12, he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Pastor Jenkins hit the nail tonight. Winning soul is a byproduct. It is very true. I strongly believe with all my heart. But if our action is right in loving the Lord, we will be going out and reaching the lost with the gospel. Often people tell to their spouse and look at them and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. It's a wonderful thing. But the next day they go and get a divorce. That's not the ultimate thing. If that person, wife or husband, if they truly love the Lord, they will not even think of having a divorce. Their attention, their focus should be right. So what he said, what I'm trying to say, our focus should be upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He should be glorified through our life and our testimony. May God Almighty speak to our hearts. If you are going through a difficult time, apply these principles in your life. How to endure trials with joy. You are going to have trials, but think in terms of the future. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. When men persecute and revile and say all manner of evil against you, may God Almighty speak to our hearts. Pastor Jenkins.
I love